Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. Right, this morning, I want to offer you a choice. Do you want to live in the land of your dreams, or do you want to live in the world of your nightmares? One of the reasons that we live in the land of our nightmares is very often because we give away our power. We surrender our power. So you can either live in the land of your dreams or the world of your nightmares. Daniel, for example, he lived in a world of captivity. He lived in a world of exile. He lived in a world where all his rights had been taken away, and yet he lived in the land of his dreams. He did not allow captivity or exile to define who he was. You see, we too often allow our past or present circumstances to define who we are. And the consequence is we give away our power and we live in the world of our nightmares. You see, Daniel was a victim, but he didn't have the mentality of a victim. Now, let me say this morning that a victim mentality is something that we can have without actually knowing it. We can actually appear very strong and very confident and very with it, but yet at the same time be displaying the characteristics of a victim mentality. We may have the mentality of a victim without actually knowing it. So this morning, I want to speak about the characteristics, the signs, sometimes hidden away, sometimes very subtle, that indicate that we may have a victim mentality. We may not admit it to ourselves, but we may have it. And if somebody asked you, do you have a victim mentality, you may deny it and be quick to assert that actually you are a strong, confident person. But this kind of thinking is very subtle. Could I have a drink, please? It's very subtle. So how do I know? Well, the first thing that I notice about myself and about others also who may have a victim mentality is that there is a tendency to blame other people. The tendency to scapegoat or put the responsibility for your problems and your difficulties on to somebody else. We give responsibility for where we are now to somebody else. We say, it wasn't me. We say, it isn't me. And very often you'll notice in yourself that there is a person, sometimes in your present, but more often in your past, who is at fault for the way you are now, for the way you're feeling, and for what is going off in your life. And we have a tendency to think to ourselves, or to say to ourselves, if it wasn't for my wife, or if it wasn't for my husband and the way they are, I would be in a better place today. If it wasn't for that person who hurt me 20 years ago, if it wasn't for my boss at work, I would be much more in a much better position. If it wasn't for my pastor, I would be much further on in the faith because my pastor is the one who's holding me back. You see, oftentimes it is somebody in our lives who is or has caused us a lot of pain. So ask yourself, is there somebody in your life who has caused you a lot of pain? And we connect with those people constantly in our thoughts, and we put the blame for the life that we are living upon that person. So I haven't progressed. My life is a mess. Yeah, I'm feeling hurt. I am feeling devastated. And it's all because of you. It's all because of somebody else. Now, this is a mentality, my friends, that I want to say this morning will take you into the world of your nightmares. It does not take you into the land of your dreams, the land in which that God has destined for you. Notice Daniel did not allow his circumstances. He did not allow the king of Babylon, who had taken him and his people into a place of captivity, away from their temple, away from their homeland, away from their families. He did not allow his circumstances or another person to victimize him and to begin to say, if it wasn't for the king of Babylon, I would be back at home. I would be in with my family. I would be in a much better position. So that's the first thing. It's a tendency to place the responsibility for the way that we are feeling upon somebody else. That's the first sign that I may have the mentality of a victim. Now, the second thing is this. Do you ever notice yourself becoming defensive? We all, at some time, become defensive. And can I say that a victim mentality is something that we can very easily slip into. With a victim mentality, watch out if you constantly feel the need to defend yourself. Yeah? So there's a tendency when somebody criticizes you, when somebody brings you a complaint, when somebody attacks you in some way, you and I, we feel innately the need to defend ourselves. That is or can be a sign that I'm slipping into the mentality of a victim. I'll come back to that again a little bit later on. So far, two signs that you may be slipping into the mentality of a victim. Number one, we blame other people for our situation. And number two, we become very defensive when people sometimes even try to help us. We always have a reason for the way that we are. We can always explain away the situation that we're in, okay? So be careful if you're always explaining away things and you're becoming defensive. And the third sign that I want to give you is you feel the need to hide away. And that's quite natural because you feel you're a victim. People have attacked you. People have even devastated sometimes your life because of the things that they have done to you or the things that they have said to you in the past. You feel the need to hide away because you certainly are not going to pop your head above the parapet so that somebody can have a go at you again. So if you have a tendency to step back and hide in the background, it can be, I'm not saying it is, because some people are just that way, introverted, don't really want any kind of attention or upfront ministry. But be careful if you want to hide away, if you want to opt out of things, because it may be a characteristic of a victim mentality. It can be kind of, well, I'm not putting myself in that position because I was blamed and I was criticized before. And you know what? I can never do anything right. So I'm not putting myself. So you generalize everything and you hide behind the fact that you don't put yourself forward for stuff. Number four, the fourth reason is you complain a lot, or I complain a lot. Yeah? Because the victim mentality, it is what it says it is. It's a way of thinking. It's a mentality. It's a bit like a dieting mentality, okay? It's a mentality. If you diet, you've got to get into the mentality. You've got to be in the zone. If you're not in the zone, you're going to eat all the rubbish that you've eaten all your life. You've got to make the change, yeah? So the victim mentality is just like that. It's a habit. It's a habitual way of thinking. It's what you've done all your life, perhaps even since you were a child. It's habitual, and I want to say this, it leads to depression. It leads to self-pity. Although, if I said to anybody here this morning, do you suffer from self-pity? You would immediately probably say no. Oh, certainly not. Not me. I never suffer from self because it is very difficult for us to admit to ourselves that we may actually from time to time suffer from self-pity. But it does lead to self-pity, and you feel trapped because you are always the victim, because they are always doing things to you. Not just the person many, many years ago, but now it's they. They are always doing things to you and making you feel this way. Yeah? If it wasn't for my husband, I wouldn't be this way. I wouldn't feel this way. I wouldn't be acting this way. So it's a trap. You get into a trap. You get trapped. You get depressed. And you feel pity for yourself. You know, one of the great roots of depression in our lives is self-pity. Okay, and the final thing I want to say is that you make it all about you, okay? So number one, if I can just recap briefly, number one, you blame other people. Number two, you become defensive. Number three, you want to hide away. Number four, you complain a lot. And number five, you want to make it all about you. Everything comes back to you. Now, Daniel was in exile. He was captured. He lost his freedom. His people were persecuted. But in Daniel, there was no hint of blame or defensiveness, and he certainly didn't hide away. The Bible says, in actual fact, he continued. That's what it says. He continued. He didn't allow any of his circumstances to detract from where he felt God was taking him. He didn't complain, but actually, you know, when they wanted to take away his diet from him, he actually offered a constructive solution. This is a wonderful sign that you may not have a victim mentality. You may have a complaint, but you always have a constructive solution because you have a faith mentality. You have the mentality that God has placed me upon this planet, not just to point out what's wrong, but to be a positive change maker and to bring positive solutions into my family, into my job, into my church, into my life. You are a transformer. Amen? So, he didn't complain, but he offered a constructive solution. And the result was he was put under a test for 10 days. For Daniel, it wasn't about him. It was about his God. It was about his beliefs. It was about his principles, and it was about his values. Amen? Make your life not about you. Make it about your God, about your beliefs, about your principles, and about your values. And you are well on the way to overcoming the mentality of a victim. Now, the origins. Where does all this stuff come from in us, this blaming and defensiveness? Very often, we can trace it back to an incident or a person in childhood. For some of you, it's going to be your dad or your mom. It may be an uncle, it may be an aunt, it may be a school teacher. Somebody who made you feel that you were a victim. Now remember, every victim has a villain. There's a villain behind every victim. There is somebody who did something to you that actually devastated or wrecked or ruined your life at some stage. And the outcome of this was that you started to give your power away. You started to delegate responsibility for your life to somebody else. And this generates feelings of helplessness. The offender, you see, is now in charge of your emotional life. You give away, when you have a victim mentality, you give away, you delegate responsibility for your emotional life to somebody else. This is a very important thing to get hold of. And in normal circumstances, the person that you are giving this responsibility to, you would never consciously think that I'm going to give any responsibility whatsoever to you concerning my life. You would never. It would never enter your head. But actually, subconsciously, when we act as a victim and we blame other people and we become defensive and we put it all on somebody else, we are giving our power away to that person and we are delegating responsibility. It's all them. It's not me. We are delegating responsibility to that person. And when we are in this situation where we blame other people, where we give our power away, we are actually very susceptible to the attacks of the devil. We are very vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. In actual fact, we are giving the devil a landing strip to come in. And the devil will bring lies and deceit. He will undermine your values and godly principles. He will undermine what the Word of God says, and he will take you off in a completely different direction. It's easy for him to lie to you. Why? Because you are needy, you are dissatisfied, Your life is devastated and you feel helpless. And when we are in that kind of situation, we will accept help from just about anybody. Anybody can appear in your life and appear to be the solution, and you're drawn away after that particular person. Be very careful about any decisions that we take when we are needy, when we are desperate, when our lives are devastated, when somebody has seriously rejected us, because anybody who appears in... Why do old people get conned so often? Because old people are vulnerable, and because the con artists recognize their vulnerability. Why do pedophiles target churches and schools? Why? Because children are vulnerable, and that's where they're going to get access to what they want. Yeah? So when you are in a difficult situation in your life, when you have been rejected, when you feel victimized, when you feel helpless, you are in a very vulnerable situation for the devil particularly to come in and have his way. How often is it, you know, that those who drift to the edges of the fellowship get picked off by the devil? How often does it happen? We need to wake up. We need to pray seriously about what happens to people in churches, because churches too get devastated by this kind of thing. And if we're not wise in how we handle situations, and if we're not wise in handling them according to the wisdom that God gives us, the church can get devastated. So let me just share with you now, what do we do? What do we do to overcome the mentality of a victim? I just want to, bring something positive and constructive, because we know the signs, we know where it comes from, but what do I need to do in my life? Number one, you need to know who you are. So who are you? Yes, I'm Mike Phillips, but who am I? Who am I really? What's my identity? Am I a victim or am I a victor? Am I in Adam or am I in Christ? If I'm in Christ, I am more, the Bible says, not just a conqueror, but I am more than a conqueror. You see, what does God say about you? This is where you start on the road of overcoming the mentality of a victor. It's actually in knowing that you know in your knower who you are, that you are a child of God, that Jesus Christ died for you, that you have been translated from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his own dear beloved Son, where you are a child of the living God. Amen. And as a child of the living God, God is on your side. You don't need to blame anything for anybody for anything, because he's on your side. He's going to vindicate you. He's going to help you. As I say, he's on your side. You see, Daniel knew who he was. He was a Hebrew. He knew what his values were. He knew what his principles were. He knew his God. Do you know your God? If you know your God, that's the very first step in overcoming a victim mentality. Because if you don't know your God, if you're outside of Christ, if you don't know Christ, you are very easily a prey to being a victim. The devil can pick you off much more easily than he can if you are under the protection of the church and if you are under the protection of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us here this morning, we need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you feel, I need to start this relationship because I've been picked off too many times. I've been a victim too many times. I need Jesus Christ in my life to help me. I'll give you a chance at the very end, if there's anybody here who needs to start that journey with God, so that you find out who you are, so that you develop self-confidence in who you are and in your God. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that you need to stop being defensive. Make a decision. I am not going to defend myself anymore, because I don't need to. We don't need to defend ourselves, because I'll tell you why. Every accusation that somebody will bring against you has probably got an element of truth. Somebody could write me a letter and say, Mike, you know what? You're a jerk. Could write me a letter and say, you're a jerk. And I could write back to them and I could say, you know what? I agree. I agree, because if I look deep enough into myself, and it's something I probably wouldn't want to do if somebody came up to me and said, Mike, you're a jerk. But if I look deep enough into myself, I can find plenty of evidence. I can find, believe me, this is it. I can find plenty of evidence for times in the past when I've been ask Liz, she'll tell you, okay. And they do, yeah. So people can whatever they say about you, most of the things, like if somebody came to me and said, Mike, you committed adultery, well, I'd say, hang on there, that's where I draw the line, because that's not true, okay? That simply isn't true, okay? So I need to qualify. I'd say, in most instances, I can find evidence for stuff, okay? So I'm not going to go any deeper into that this morning for you, but you need to ask yourself, okay, so they're saying this to me. Is there an element of truth? And we are far too quick to be defensive rather than to accept what they say. Because, you know, when I accept what they say and I write back to them or I say to them, you know, you're probably right. There's an element of truth in this. End of the story. Yeah? Even say thank you for... Thank you for telling me that I'm a jerk. Okay. So you accept it and it releases you. You are released. So that's the first thing. Stop. Find the truth and don't be defensive. Just simply don't go there. Really important for us to remind ourselves of this because it will help us greatly in all of our relationships. What I'm doing this morning, this is a life coaching session, okay? I'm coaching you about life. This is how we should live our lives. This is how I haven't always lived my life, by the way. But none of us are perfect and all of us are learning, okay? So that's the second thing is don't be defensive. Number three is choose not to give your power away. In other words, don't say anything back to the person out of anger, out of resentment, out of retaliation, out of revenge. Remember the Bible says that we shouldn't allow the sun to go down on our anger. You can reply. I'm not saying don't say anything, but you give your power away when you become angry. You give your power away when you go off on one. You give your power away. You lose your power. It drains out of you when you become angry and you lose it, as they say. Yeah, as they say, he lost it. Believe me, I've seen people lose it. Yeah, I've told you about the Methodist minister I had a conversation with one time, and he lost it. And I think, what's going off here? I've never seen this man like that before, but he became a different person. Yeah, and I became the butt of his blame for whatever it was that was going off in his life. So you can reply, but not in anger. So you say, somebody says to you, you're a jerk, you know that. And you say, well, how interesting. You know, I've never thought of myself like that before. That's an interesting thought. That's a really interesting thought. Now, can we talk about something else? Okay, so you don't have to reply back in anger. Okay, so just one more thought, and I'll finish with this. Take responsibility for how you're feeling, because when you blame, you are passing responsibility onto somebody else. Take responsibility for your feelings. Now, just one point here that I want to make is your past does not exist. Your past is gone. You cannot touch it again. You cannot do anything about it. You cannot change it. You cannot bring it back and relive it. Only in your mind. Your past only exists in your mind. Your mind is your problem. Your mind is not my problem. My mind is my problem. That's where the problem exists. Because we allow our mind to connect us with what happened in the past. And if we can change our thinking, we can change our life. If we change the way we think about that person, if we change the way we think about our life, we can change our lives. And this is why the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of timidity to fall back into fear. He has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we need to renew our minds according to the word of God. So being in the word of God, being with God, allowing God to transform and change our minds is the key to having a transformed life. Now, you and I get hurt, not because of what they said, but because of what you think about yourself. This is really important. Perhaps the most important point that I will make today. You and I, we get hurt, not because of what people said, but because of what we think or believe about ourselves. There is something in you that believes what they said. That's why we get hurt. So if somebody comes to me and they say, Mike, you know, you are never going to make anything of your life. I'm not going to believe them, okay? Because I say, are you serious? Have you seen the list of letters that I've got after my name? I'm not boasting now, but Michael Gerard Phillips, B.A., B.D., P.G.C.E., M.A., okay? So I've got a list. I've had an incredible life, been a missionary enough. I've been in an amazing seminary where I loved every minute of it. Why? Because I could study, which I loved doing, and I could play sport, which I loved doing, and play rugby especially. And I had a great bunch of friends and a great bunch of lads. We had a ball of a time in seminary. I want to say I had an amazing time. I had an amazing time in Africa. I was a teacher for 14 years. I was head of education in one of the largest comprehensive schools in the county. I've come to you people here. Look what you've given me, okay? So somebody comes to me and says, Mike, you know, you're never going to make anything of your life. That isn't really going to cut the mustard with me. That isn't really going to affect me. It's not going to hurt me. Why? Because I know that it's not true. However, people could come and say other things to me. Maybe I won't tell you what they are because you'll probably come and say them. But if somebody says something to me that resonates with my past life, so for example, if somebody comes to me and says, Mike, I don't want you at my party. Now, I don't want invites from everybody, by the way, but... But if it's a party that I feel I should be at and I'm excluded, now that would affect me. Why? Because from my earliest years, I felt excluded. Why? Because until I was 7 years of age, I had a serious illness. And I was in hospital many times. And the doctor was always coming out to me. So my mother kept me in. I was never allowed to go out and play with the other kids. When it came to making my first communion, I couldn't make my first communion with the other children. I did it on my own when I was well enough, okay? When I was in secondary school, I was cut from the hurling team, so I was excluded. So being excluded somehow can resonate with my thinking and with my mind, and that's something that I have to deal with. So you see, if somebody cuts me out, it is likely that it will affect me. If what is being said to you somehow resonates with you, if, for example, somebody comes to you and says, you know what, you're useless, you're never going to make anything of your life, that may hurt you deeply. Why? Because that's what your mom and dad said to you, and you believe them, right? So it's in your mind. So it's the thought that you're carrying at the moment that somebody rejects you or abuses you or complains to you. It's the thought that you are carrying at that moment in time. That's what's going to cause you, if anything, to give your power away. So that's a really important thing. So, in conclusion, sorry, I've gone over time, but do you want to live in the world of your nightmares or live in the land of your dreams? I believe that God this morning is actually setting out something amazing before us as a church so that we live in the land of our dreams rather than the world of our nightmares. God is saying something real and specific to us this morning, and he's saying to us, whatever you do, church, ditch the mentality of a victim. You are not a victim. Reinforce once again this morning that I am a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? Stop blaming, stop being defensive, stop giving your power away.